So we just left the Breaking Benjamin, Chevelle, 3 Days Grace, Dorothy, and that other chick show.
Diamante.
Whatever. oh my God. Such a good show. I am so happy that, yeah.
As you can tell by her voice.
I had a voice at some
She's
point.
She's been doing, I can't even make my voice break like that. Wait, try it. Do the woo.
I can't woo right now.
It was a weird yodel.
I can't woo right now. I'm out of woo.
It's been a weird yodel for the last hour or so.
Anyway, oh my God, such a good show. I guess we start at the beginning, yeah?
Sure. Let's start with that annoying chick, Diamante.
Diamante.
So... I wrote a post about her a couple of years ago. She came up on my radar, and she was doing backup vocals with All That Remains on that Garth Brooks cover. And I was like, this is interesting. And so I looked her up, and I was like, it was a little weird, like the information I found out about her at first. And then as I dug more, I was like, oh, she's pretending that this is her first foray into music. But she was actually an award-winning tween pop star. And I was like, that's really weird and kind of annoying. And the more I heard from her, because she did that duet with Bad Wolves, the more I heard from her, the less I liked her, because all I can hear from her voice is auto-tune. I do not actually know what she sounds like. And that always bothers me. Like, at least, you know, auto-tune, fine, but like, I want to hear what the voice is. I don't want to hear the computer. You know?
Well, we know what she sounds like now.
Yeah.
So, and we know why they auto-tune her.
Right. But so I came to the show like going, okay, well, she's only got like, what, a 20-minute set. Let's see, because at least I'll get to hear her voice. And yeah, oh no, auto-tune is her friend.
So I don't hate her.
No.
I did not enjoy her music at all. I don't really particularly enjoy her stage presence. She wears a pair of leather pants very well,
yes.
But that's not enough.
Yeah.
But like when she talked and when she talked to her quote unquote fans, there was a personality there.
There were fans there. There were people wearing her shirts who bought her merch.
Yeah. So. And like she's dedicated. That much is true. 'Cause like, as soon as she got off stage, she went over to a spot off to the side, and a line formed, and she took pictures and signed shit, and
did a full like meet and greet out there,
right? And then there, when we at the end of the show, there was another line of people, and like she's putting in the time, she's putting in the effort, she's doing the fan service, and that part is good,
commendable,
but her music is crap.
Yeah, she can't find a pitch to save her life, and that was really annoying to me.
You know, going into it was kind of like, okay, I'm not excited about this. I probably don't like her. I don't like anything I've heard of her so far. But you know, I'll leave it open. She started her set as we were walking up to our seats. And walking up, I'm like, okay. I mean, this is, maybe she's just overproduced in the studio. And this just doesn't sound bad.
The band was fine.
The band behind her is playing perfectly serviceable rock and roll. And the first song, I mean, they had a bunch of equipment issues, I guess. There were some mic issues and some, like, the whole sound goes out for a second. So there was some stuff going on. But it turns out we just couldn't hear her mic very much on that first song, because it came in louder on the second song. And her stock went way down. And she can't hit a pitch. She's not following her own music, including later on, the song that she did a duet with Bad Wolves, she couldn't sing her part of the song.
Yeah, that was the part that she had the worst time with.
Yeah. Just, she was having issues with her part of the duet that she was singing the whole song of.
And I mean, we got to see Bad Wolves, well, Patch and I got to see Bad Wolves doing, you know, them just doing it.
And God, it was fantastic.
It was really good. I like that song.
But yeah, so I mean, I think there's enough about Diamante, really.
Yeah.
Not worth the energy, really.
So, and then it was my girl Dorothy, who I absolutely adore. I have been following her since she was playing tiny clubs in Hollywood. Got to meet her, like, you know, sometime in the last year. just absolutely adore her. She played a lot of her like blues-based stuff, which was great. I loved the fact that her eyeshadow was coordinated to her coat.
That was cool, but I didn't like the eyeshadow choice, other than the fact that it coordinated nicely. It made her eyes look weird.
Now, when you say eyeshadow, you're talking about like silver mirror.
Yes.
I just want to be sure. Yes. A mirror is not a shadow.
Well,
that's eye highlight.
Anyway, the stuff she had on her eyelids matched her coat, and both of them were like disco ball awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's sporting black hair right now, which I dug. Loved the hat. But her music, oh my God, like, especially in contrast to Diamante. Yeah,
she can actually fucking sing.
You will never have to auto-tune Dorothy. She has such a powerful, amazing voice. And she writes really good songs.
I love her older stuff, especially just that, you know, blues rock, just kind of grungy, gritty, you know, nothing good comes after midnight. You've got to raise a little hell.
And she did a bunch of them.
She did a bunch of her older stuff.
Down to the Bottom.
She only did
like two songs off of her last album.
The last couple times we've seen her, she's playing more off of her new stuff, which is okay.
It's just not your cup of tea.
I like her older stuff better.
I really like Flawless.
Yeah, Flawless is awesome.
But yes, it was an excellent palate cleanser after Diamante because, you know, she gets up and, I mean, she walks out and just takes the stage and just rocks it.
Yeah, and there's no posturing. She's just being Dorothy, but she owns that stage. So,
unquestionably.
Yeah. So, yay. Very happy to see her again. That was exciting. Far enough away from the stage that I wasn't getting killed by incense. That's always nice. So, and then 3 Days Grace, who I hadn't seen yet. You guys both saw them open for Disturbed, right?
Yeah, we got the tail end of their set.
Okay.
That's right.
Coming in for Disturbed. Like, so we barely walked in.
Something must have been going on at the Forum because when I first arrived to the Forum after the fiasco that was Barking and, you know, not having relieved myself in 2 hours with traffic and nonsense. As soon as we got through security, the first step was find the Wizatorium. And they had what was going on the floor piped in. And I thought it was like some opener, like
opener. Crappy Muzak speakers. It's essentially, you know, grocery store speakers in the bathroom.
Right, but it was off key and bad. Huh. So I don't know if Homeboy was having a bad night or having technical difficulties or what, because what I heard tonight was nothing like what I heard at the Disturbed show. Being that it was excellent. Tonight was excellent. It was like a completely different band. Huh. Which is good because what I heard at the Forum was not good.
Did not impress?
No, not at all.
I was talking to the guy sitting next to me, who was not with our party, before they came on, and the general consensus was, yeah, I mean, vocally, everybody likes Adam better.
Sure.
But, you know, he does a good Adam impression on a lot of the songs. So I had no problem with it. It didn't feel nearly as, you know, my darkest grace as I thought it was going to.
Yeah. No, I think, and also, I mean, he's had whatever, you know, a year or so.
Two albums.
A year or two. He's had some time to settle into it now.
Yeah.
So he's got more of, you know, 3 Days Grace now, rather than he's singing for 3 Days Grace now, just coming off of, you know, being with his own band over there. Because originally when they formed, they wanted him to be the singer, and he said no, and then went off and formed My Darkest Days.
Yeah, all of that is true, and all of that is wonderful. I was really put off by the chanting of the band name that he was Right. So like if the crowd decides to do that organically, that's fine. That's one thing. Fine. Whatever. But to prompt the crowd to chant your name or the name of your band or whatever it is really kind of
weird.
It's not even masturbatory like our buddy Zach. it's kind of creepy to me.
Yeah,
it's like worship me.
Yeah, there was a lot of ego coming off of him that I didn't necessarily appreciate. That I didn't see, like when we saw Santa Sonia with Adam, I didn't get that off of him at all. I mean, he was a little pissed off at, like, you know, 3 Days Grace, but whatever.
I don't know that I necessarily saw them like start that chant, because as far as I saw, I thought that chant first started just in the setup time between. While the band wasn't on stage, and it was, you know, we were waiting for the band, and that's when I first heard the 3 Days Grace chant start.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did times during their set as well. But
yeah. Like I saw him prompting. Right. Like he would do
the wave energy at himself.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was just like, you know, make some noise, scream, yell, and people decided to, you know, chant 3 Days
Well,
Grace.
At one point he was like tapping on the mic to that thing, trying to get them to do it again. So yeah.
That end, while I know that this is actually the case, but he compared to the rest of the band, really looks like somebody's little brother up there.
Yeah, well, okay. That's what happens when you're somebody's little brother.
So,
they were good. I really enjoyed seeing them. I was glad that I finally got to see them. I was annoyed that I didn't get to see them when you guys went to Disturbed. And then Chevelle, oh my God, I've been wanting to see, I have been following this band since 2001. I mean, I know that we reviewed them in Flow, the original Flow, you know, and back when they were on like Lava Records or something ridiculous. I've always been a huge fan, and I was not disappointed in the least.
Other than the fact that the lead singer sneaks up on the microphone. Like he comes, he's trying to catch that wily fucker unaware. He's coming at it from oblique angles. And you know what? Microphones don't fucking work that way. Sing into the microphone. Thank you. This has been a public service announcement.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
As Patch yells in the direction of the steering wheel and not the microphone.
I don't want to overpower anybody.
I mean, there's that, but you know what? The band, the vocals, everything, they have just plain and simple a really good, tight show.
And that was a three-piece.
Yeah, it's amazing what they do with a trio. Like, normally a trio is kind of, you know, it's good, solid rock and roll, and you can do a thing, but it doesn't fill an arena like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are a trio that fills an arena.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Really bummed out about the technical issue at the end of their sets.
Yeah. Somebody lost a job tonight.
So we're sitting there, they're doing their last song, and they're coming up on the end of the last song, and they've told us it's their last song. Somebody somewhere hit a couple of buttons, and the curtain came down on him.
Now, my guess, you know, knowing how these things work, it's essentially, they're called a kabuki draw. And there's little boxes up there that hang in the rigging that are DMX controlled. And you basically have your curtain rolled up so that you've got one side that's tied to the back that will drop it, and it will be a front curtain. Then you've got another one where you hit a button and it releases and it drops the whole thing. I have a hunch what happened is there's a sets of switches on the thing. And there's a power button, you know, a power switch, and a, you know, activate this and an activate that, and a go button. I have a hunch what happened is that they were coming to the end of their set, and somebody decided that they're going to prep this because it was going to be the curtain that comes down in front of the stage before Breaking Benjamin. I have a hunch, and what happened is that the switches were all up and set to release, and the button was down, and somebody went, okay, let's prep it. They turned it on, and it just dropped the whole thing.
Mm.
Because what happens is it's supposed to drop one side,
right,
and then be a curtain, and then drop the curtain. nothing stayed up top. The whole thing just came straight down on top of the band.
No, it was a two-part release.
Yeah.
The way it looked to me is that they released the drop, the curtain,
right,
to be a curtain, and somebody realized that it was happening and was like, oh my God, they're still playing, release the whole thing so they don't get blocked.
But it dropped on top of the lead singer.
Yes.
Yeah. Either way, somebody screwed the pooch on them.
Yeah, badly.
Whether it was an equipment malfunction or somebody not paying attention to the right things. Because, I mean, even if they did just hit everything at the same time, they're going to drop differently.
Yeah.
Because the top is going to be heavier weighted, and the back would have been tied and rolled. Mm-hmm. So if it all came, it's a very light curtain.
Right.
So it is going to billow and kind of parachute no matter what happens. It's not going to come down as just like a roll. So it's still going to try to unroll because it's actually wound up with cord.
It was fully unrolled by the time it got down.
Yeah. It's wound up with cord and made to unroll as it comes down and be this, you know, cool thing. Especially from the band's perspective, it was not, in fact, a cool thing.
No. I hope he's okay. I mean, that had to, at the very least, be disconcerting.
Yeah. I mean, he ended up, like, under the thing. And stagehands had to come up and dig him out of under the curtain. The good thing is that they're really light silk and they're not heavy at all. But, you know, fuck that.
Yeah. Oh, but before we move on, the lighting.
Oh, yeah.
The lighting for Chevelle was brilliant.
Yeah.
They had these window boxes or mirrors.
They looked like infinity mirror boxes.
Yeah. God, those were great.
Yeah, they basically, it was an infinity mirror box, and on each edge was a strip light sort of thing that's on a motor. So it's, you get colors and you can do pixel control, and then you get either a pan or a tilt. So the ones on the sides would do a pan across, the top and bottom would tilt. So they were doing, the lighting designer was doing some really cool effects with that.
Really cool.
And you're doing like sweeps in and essentially doing what's called a dimmer fall or a dimmer rise. Mm-hmm. So it comes out, it's on, and as it moves over across to its final position, it turns off, resets, and so it becomes this fan effect.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, just the whole presentation of Chevelle was just beautiful.
Yeah, and I mean, keep in mind, they were still not the headliner, so they were still only using the smaller basic rig, plus what they had on stage that they brought.
Right.
So they weren't using the full rig up top. They were using just some of the, a couple of spots and some of the washes that were up top.
Yeah, they had some of the back washes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had turned to Rick and gone, now see, this lighting is really good. Just as Patch was like texting us going, hey, the lighting. So we all kind of had the same like impulse.
Yeah, no, I mean, their whole show was just on point and just tight and well run.
Yeah. Except for that one thing. Yeah,
except for that one thing, which technically wasn't part of their show because that was actually going to be dropping to be the in-betweener.
That's right.
Because Breaking Benjamin, if they want to start off, and you could see the lighting, it was going to be kind of a UV purple backdrop, and he was going to come up and be backlit against the curtain for that first thing until it dropped.
Which is right. What they usually do.
Yes, they do.
Right. And they often project stuff before the set.
But we didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
And then Breaking Benjamin.
Man, those guys.
Okay, so as someone with a chronic pain condition, I always notice like how Ben's energy level is. For those of you who don't know, Ben has a chronic pain condition. And he was so energetic and happy and not feeling painful at all.
Yeah.
I was astounded. Like, he let people touch him. He stepped into the light. He was bouncing around the stage. I've never seen him like that.
Yeah. Smiles. He was having a really good night.
I've never seen him not struggle at all.
Yeah.
And that was just, oh my God.
There have been times when he was there and he was doing the show, and I mean, he's rocking it, but you can see that he's struggling. That he's, you know, working through it to, you know, do this show. And I mean, that's the thing, is that he, years ago, with his, you know, chronic pain condition, he stopped doing shows. He's like, this just sucks. And he went went to the doctors and said, yeah, no, don't do that anymore. It's just going to get worse. And he went through a little bit of time where he didn't do shows. And essentially was just like, you know what? Fuck that. I can't live like this.
He didn't. It's not that they didn't do shows. He didn't do any music for like 5 years.
He didn't make music. And he basically decided, you know what? It's worth the pain and the suffering to go through this because this is what I live for. I mean, he lives for the music and the show. I mean, you can see that. He's very connected to the crowd.
Yeah.
Very.
I mean, he spent a good 10 minutes at the beginning after one song, like, pulling the audience and getting all of the kids that he could find with their parents up on stage into these boxes that they had off to the side for kids on stage.
Yeah.
You know, the second to last song, what was it? He actually broke down towards the end of the song, didn't finish the song, as he mentioned later, because he had a breakdown on stage because he was just blown away that the audience singing along with him drowned him out. And he was just like, you could see him like tearing up on stage. He's like, I just can't.
That's never happened before.
This has never happened before. And now he just, you can see that he loves making music and doing shows.
Well, and part of the challenge used to be when he had the old lineup that he was kind of the guy and everybody else was just support and nobody wanted to be in charge of anything. And like when he was in the studio, it was pretty much him. He might as well have been fucking Prince. And when he decided to come back and he got the new lineup, like everything changed. It is now an ensemble act, you know, and Patch, that first time that you saw them, you said something to the effect of they are all aspects of him.
Yes.
Like he managed to like replicate himself into a full band. And so it's a shared effort. And you can have like any of the three, you know, main vocalists do the lead vocals on a song and it's fine. Which I think like lends him a lot of support because he's not as pressured to like have to be on all the time.
And the guitar parts, I mean, he plays when he wants to, basically. Yeah. There's two other super solid guitarists.
Yeah.
I am absolutely, absolutely blown away in ways that I can't quite articulate at the moment every time I see this band by their bassist. That guy is a fucking powerhouse.
Yeah.
And I, if any of you have listened to any of our Get in the Vans before, I kind of gushed about Trevor from the Black Dahlia Murder and how he switches between his vocal styles seamlessly in the middle of a show. The bassist, whose name I unfortunately do not know, in From Breaking Benjamin, seamlessly switches between his heavy metal growl and really clean, really melodic, beautiful vocals seamlessly in the middle of some of their more aggressive songs.
And he's got a vocal range too.
Yeah. That guy blows me away every time I see him.
What do you think, Tegan?
That drummer was fucking bomb.
He really was.
True.
Yeah.
And there was fire.
Oh, yes. There was fire. And fireworks.
Gotta love a band with pyro.
It's a rarity in Southern California.
Well, because,
Because Southern California.
Yeah, Southern California.
It's one of our seasons. Fire!
So they prefer if you don't bring your own. I'm so impressed by how little pain, how well Ben seemed to be feeling. And I think that's what made the biggest impression on me from their set. It was awesome. It's always awesome.
Also, I just love the fact that, you know, Ben is just, as he says it, he's just a big nerd.
Yes.
He comes out, does his Star Wars thing. He comes out like, I love California. You know what? You know what they have in California? They have Baja Fresh. That's what I had for dinner tonight. It was awesome. You guys are like In-N-Out and stuff. And he's just, we saw him a while ago for an acoustic show down at House of Blues in Anaheim. And, I mean, he spent most of the time when they weren't actually playing, like telling stupid jokes, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell this joke. Hold on, guys. And give
Keith,
me crap.
And Keith Wallen just kept looking at him like, please stop
talking. They keep giving me crap for, you know, telling these horrible jokes. But you know what? It feels like we're just like hanging out in my living room here today. So you know what? I'm going to tell this horrible joke. And you know what? It was a horrible joke. It was bad. But you know what? It was funny because he was just on stage just enjoying himself.
Yeah, I mean, he's goofy and he feels like one of us. You know, that's one of the part of his charm. I am a little disappointed tonight. I already knew that I didn't agree with his politics or his lack of politics or however you want to put that. His lack of social awareness, let's put it that way. But Jesus, Ben, can you like something other than hate chicken? he was talking about, you know, I don't even like saying the name of the place, that the hateful, hateful chicken chain. And he was speaking in glowing terms about them. And I realized
if hopefully somebody can, you know, get this to Ben. I realize that place has chicken and that's what they do. But you know what? Popeyes, Church's Chicken have much better chicken.
And less hate.
And less hate. Right. I'm just, you know, I'm not about hate chicken. I like chicken, don't get me wrong. I'll put a hurt on some fried chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, that made me sad.
But I don't eat hate chicken.
Yeah. No.
Hate chicken is beautiful.
I liked how he had, like, other people on his that he brought in to play a song or two. That, like, changed their lives, I bet. Like, that one kid.
Yeah, there was a kid named Wyatt who had met Ben at a meet and greet. And during the meet and greet had mentioned that he wanted to play a song with them. And so apparently, I don't know the story any more than that, but this evolved into Wyatt coming out on stage tonight in front of Five Point Amphitheater in Irvine.
With a guitar strapped to him.
And played So Cold with them. It was just fucking beautiful.
Not just any guitar, that was Ben's guitar.
Oh, yeah.
That was very cool.
Yeah, that kid's never going to forget that. That's beautiful.
And just the other part, I forget his name, but Ben was saying, you know, you heard this album that we did a while back. There was a song on there, and there was a guy from on Instagram who covered our song on Instagram, and I heard it, and I was like, it was awesome. So I just had to get a hold of this guy. So he figured out who it was and called him up and said, hey, We're doing another album. I loved your cover of our song. I want you to come in to the studio and record a song with us for this next album.
The person, by the way, is Derek Huff.
Yes.
He's apparently a dancer on Dancing with the Stars. I Googled him while we were at the show.
His Wikipedia says that he won 6 seasons in a row.
You read further than I did.
Yeah.
So he's apparently
a good dancer and singer. And yeah. He came out and, you know, rocked the song. Like, again, imagine that. You cover a song on Instagram. The guy who wrote the song and performed the song finds it, likes it, finds out who you are, contacts you and says, hey, can you come in and record that? And then he must be in L.A. So, you know, hey, we're playing tonight at Five Points. So can you come down and do the duet with me on stage?
Yeah. And then he had him for another song, too.
Yeah.
Ben is just, he's really just all about the crowd. He really is just giving back to the fans one way or another.
Yeah. And plus and their whole partnership with St. Jude's and the Shriners and for charity and all of that. It's all about the kids. It's all about the fans. It's all about, the exchange of energy.
Yeah.
You know, he feeds off the fans, but gives so much back.
Yeah.
It is definitely an equal exchange.
And he's very obviously, you know, he's just a guy because he's getting all the kids up on stage. Like, you know, bring your parent, guardian. You know, don't just send your kids up here. Don't give us your kids, please. Don't. I mean, we're rock musicians. We don't even have our own lives fucking sat down. We don't know what the fuck we're doing. Don't give us your kids. Come up and supervise this shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, love him. Love Breaking Benjamin. Great show. Great music. Yeah. Always a good time.
Yeah. And so hopefully tomorrow I'll have a voice again.
I can't even do it.
No, it's... No, I can't either.
I can't do it right now. Yes! Oh, my God.
All right, you know what? I think we're going to call it that. So, I'm Batman.
Twisted Cat.
Patch.
Deegan.
Get in the room!
Yeah! We're going to do it! Okay, stop!